Welcome to the Latin Wealth Podcast, a podcast dedicated to educating the Latino community about entrepreneurship, investing, and business.
Yo, what's going on, Latin Wealth family? Welcome to another episode to Wealth Wednesday. Super excited about today's episode as we're going to be diving into the latest on Tesla and Elon Musk and seeing what's been going on with their layoffs and whatnot. Also going to be diving into the Bitcoin halving, which is going to be happening very, very soon. If you are listening to this, it's probably going to be happening within the next day or sooner. With that being said, welcome to another episode to Wealth Wednesday and the Latin Wealth Podcast. I'm super excited about today's episode because if you are listening to this, you may want to go to YouTube because we are in the studio today and we got Jeremiah in the studio. How you living, bro? How you doing?
We in the studio. We live, man.
We live.
This is taking forever, but we are here. Two very busy men.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably touch on that, I guess, a little bit later. But yeah. I know you're busy, man. But yeah, man, we're here live together. This is a blessing.
100%. And yeah. Man, it's been a dope past couple of days for me. I know you've been out here in Texas. Yeah. I was just in Puerto Rico, getting a little tan on. You know,
you got your tan on. You did
with the family. So. Yeah. Yeah, man, super excited. I was telling the producer for the studio, anytime I get in here, I just get super excited. So, yeah, we're going to have a great episode today. And, yeah, let's dive right into it. So, Tesla will lay off more than 10% of its global workforce. All right. So, this was I think originally it was leaked. Someone leaked out the email or something like that that was sent out by Elon Musk. And he basically said, as we prepare the company for our next phase of growth, it is extremely important to look at every aspect of the company for cost reductions and increasing productivity. All right, so this was a memo that was sent out by Elon Musk to the whole company. And, you know, a couple different points before we jump into it. You know, Tesla shares have been taking a big hit in the recent months, falling 31% year to date.
Yeah.
And, you know, with electric vehicle sales, you know, they're still gaining popularity, still increasing. You know, there's a lot more competition out there, right? You got companies like Hyundai, Kia, Ford, NIO,
GMC.
GMC. And I almost forgot about NIO. I remember NIO was like popping in 2020.
It was. Yep.
Like I had a look at this, the share in 2020, it was like hovering around 30, 40. And it's like $3 now, man. It's
crazy. I mean, Rivian. Lucian.
Yep.
Rivian is a big one because you see those trucks everywhere. Like the SUV and a truck more than, you know, you see Lucid cars, I think more than Cali. But yeah, Rivian is.
You see them. Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Last thing before we get into it, Tesla is scheduled to report first quarter financial results on April 23rd. It is currently April 17th when we're recording this. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out.
Yeah.
Man, what are your thoughts on Tesla right now and Elon Musk?
So, I don't know if people remember, probably almost a year ago, right about when we started, we were talking about Elon. We were talking about him taking over Twitter, now X, right? unfortunately, I feel like we're almost in the same space with Elon. Maybe like a lot of his decisions, the interview with Lemon. A lot of people would say that was just more on Lemon, but I think that kind of showed a little bit of, there were some things that came out with Elon, you know, some not so favorable comments and things that came out from that interview. And then also I think that it just seems to be in a frustrated mind space right now. Tesla's, you know, it's down 31%. I've taken hit. I had a lot of Tesla stock. I know a lot of people that have a lot of Tesla stock. And I think he's just frustrated. I think the innovations and the things, maybe it's not hitting the way you wanted to. I know that he just recently changed the price point for the Model Y. So you're looking at, you know, multiple changes within a year. That's not usually very good, right? For a corporation. Think about it. The Titanic is the perfect analogy. The Titanic is what it is. You can't turn the Titanic, right? That's why I hit the iceberg, right? And it messed it up. You can't turn a big ship. So corporations are big ships. It's very difficult to turn them on a dime. And so multiple changes, I think that that's affecting them. I think that hurt the stock. And then somebody leaked this information.
Yeah, it scares off their investors.
I mean, it does. I mean, and especially retail investors, because these are not people that are long-term. These are people that are not traders, but they're looking to make money you know, within maybe a year or so, maybe 2 years, and then maybe sell it off and do what they can mm-hmm. with it. So I think that Elon needs to get back in the space of creativity. Mm-hmm. I think he needs to get back into that focus. EV cars are taking a hit, and it's no coincidence, we talked about this, that oil is at all-time highs, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a lot of money in oil, and so you can see EV sales kind of, things are kind of going right. the other way, right? But eventually they'll get back to where they need to be, but I think right now Elon needs to take some time and try to figure out what his next move is going to be. He's almost, I wouldn't say, he's not in the Apple space, but he's taking some hits, and I think he needs to reevaluate some things.
Yeah, there's like three major companies that are kind of taking hits now. Apple, I put Nike up there, to be honest.
With I was going to say Disney. Huh? I was going to say Disney with
Disney.
Them.
Yeah. And Tesla. And it's interesting what you said about not being able to turn the ship. So they completely scratched the Model 2
yep.
idea, which was, and it's been completely defunded. Model 2 was supposed to be their even cheaper model.
The economic model.
Economic model. I think it was going to be going for anywhere from $25,000 to
$29,000. Correct.
And now, instead of doing that, they're going all in on robo-taxis.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see, like, okay, this is what we're going in on. And, you know, investors are like, this is a lot of move. What's going on over there, right?
A lot of movement.
So robo-taxis, the self-driving cars, is really what they're going to be focusing on. They're going to be building a giant data center to support the robo-taxis operations and whatnot. So it is a lot of different moves. I don't even know what you call it, but they had, like, the robot, the human robot. I don't know what his plans were with that. It seems like Elon, if he just has an idea, he just throws it out there.
And that's cool because you're the owner of stuff, but that's not beneficial,
mm-hmm.
right? That's not strategic. He was in a different space. He was being more strategic when he was making the partnerships with different companies and setting up the charging stations, creating a network and then linking X to those networks and data creation mm-hmm. and stuff. That was the space that he should be in, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, and you have to think about this. A person's brain has a bandwidth. There's only so much space, even geniuses, mm-hmm. right? There's only so much that you can do, and your focus starts to deviate from where you want to be. His main focus was getting to Mars and creating a colony on Mars, right? That was his, that's what he said his focus was. Now, all of this stuff is to fund mm-hmm. that mission with SpaceX and stuff, but if he doesn't keep the main thing in focus, you know, I mean, because you got to, right now, your energies, you have to have someone and delegate to handle SpaceX, and you got to be making Tesla make money.
For
because
sure.
That's the cash cow, right?
Yeah.
That's just weird to me that they cut that car, the Model mm-hmm. 2, right, that they were supposed to, which is the economic. And the reason for that, I think, was when he looked at it, the volume they would have to sell to mm-hmm. make up for their overall profit margin, because their profit margin had shrunk a little bit, and he was saying, we're going to just do massive volume. I think he lost a contract in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a factory that wasn't going to open in China, so then that cut
yeah.
right actual revenue generation. So I think that Elon is kind of just in a space right now where he's, like you said, throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's not going to work for investors.
So going back to the portion about the layoffs, you mentioned yeah. like, you know, as humans, we only have a certain amount of capacity, that's right? It. So when it seems like Elon especially, he would rather have less people working for him that are doing way more. Do you think that's sustainable?
It's not. And I'm not Elon by any portion or anything, right? But I know even like just my own business, that is a person that is, it's a control thing mm-hmm. and it's us seeking to control, and it's a thing that you have to have your tentacles or your hands in every single thing. But what you end up finding out is even if that person, five people could do it only to 80% capacity of you, that's still scale,
mm-hmm.
right? It's better to delegate and allow sure. those five people to do it to the 80% of what you could mm-hmm. than you, one person, doing it to the 100% of what mm-hmm. you could, because you're just one person. And so I think that Elon is starting to, I hear him. He wants people to fully commit to Tesla. You got to live, breathe, da, 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 right? I mean, there's stories, people losing wives, husbands, yeah. like their whole family's leaving them yeah. like for yeah. Tesla. I think it's time to fully sit down and have a conversation. It's like the people that were pushing people back into the office. Elon was one of those main people definitely, that were trying to push people to come back. Mm-hmm. So I think it's time to sit down and assess what's actually efficient. That's what I'm believing. Because you can cut now, but what happens when you're ready to scale again? You're going to have to hire new people. And it takes, on average, 60 to 90 days to train a person to be proficient in whatever it is that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm always wondering, for these people like Elon Musk, is there somebody in a circle to pull them back and say, hey, we need to talk about some things? Or, you know, I don't know. It's really interesting.
I think they're not, I don't know if they're together still or not, but the ex-wife or the ex-girlfriend, the mother of X, I think she was that person. From the conversations that I saw, she was very
and that
logical.
Was a child actually named. That's
yeah, yeah.
For people out there, that's what he actually named his child.
Yeah, X. You're like, what? I said, that's what he named. Anyway, it's Elon, guys.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she was one of those people. I think that she was very logical and she kept him grounded. But when you deviate from that or you leave that relationship, I think that there's not many people that are going to tell Elon Musk no. I think one of the famous interviews of what we saw was Kanye. I don't know if people remember. There's an interview, I think we were talking about it. Kanye predicted Elon like years ago. I think it was like 2004, 2005. Elon and him were talking very, you know, on a normal basis, very frequently. And he predicted for him to be where he is. And Kanye says, like, you listen to Vultures or whatever. He talks to Elon and tells him, like, hey, bro, I don't know if that's a good idea. Now, is Kanye the best person to be taking advice?
right.
I don't know.
It's somebody, though.
It is somebody. But, I mean, I feel like there has to be someone a peer, right? And the biggest problem is that Elon doesn't feel that anyone is his peer because he's a polymath. He's gifted in so many different places. Like, you have Tim Cook at Apple, but he's a CEO, right? He's skilled in just one type of thing, right? He's not really innovative. He's a systematic guy, and he can implement things, but he's not really a creator. Elon's a creator as well, right? So I think it's very hard. I think Elon, and if Steve Jobs was still alive, Steve Jobs could probably mentor Elon.
For sure, 100%.
Because he was in that space. But there's not very many people that are in that space anymore. Jeff Bezos isn't in that space. He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
He's a systematic person that implemented a system, and he kept at that system until it just, right? Elon creates. He thinks of things, and then he goes and he actually, and people don't, he's an engineer guy. He's like, he's very smart as well. He talks a lot of crap, but he's super smart. And so it's like, who is that person that's in that lane?
Yeah, studying, you know, these people in leadership, it's always interesting to see people like, you mentioned Kanye, Elon Musk, who, let's be honest, their ego is probably blown out of proportion, but they can deliver, right?
Who could check him?
Who can check him?
That's the problem. You talk trash about them, but you haven't done a tenth of what they've done, right? And so there are people like, well, is that the measuring stick? Well, yeah, for them it is. In that space, when you get in that group of people, what have you done? You have to bring to the table what you've built. And if you haven't built anything that's even remotely close to mine, I'm not going to listen to you, because you just, why would I listen? And I think Kanye talks about that all the time, right? Because he's like, I'm more successful than da, 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 and then you have no response. So that's why it's like, it takes a certain type you know who should be trying to, mentor these guys, but I don't know if they would listen? Bill Gates. He's a creator and he's a genius.
I think
he's out of that time. I think he's out of that space. He's getting older and he just kind of, you know, but I think that would be someone that could like come in and say, hey, that's probably not the best thing. But if they would listen or not, I don't know. But at least he would be in the space for them to be like, okay, well, he does know.
For sure. 100%. No, I agree with that. And I think, man, we always need somebody, right, to lean on.
All of us.
For mentorship or anything, because especially with Elon, a lot of, you know, Tesla, huge company, the decision that he makes with Tesla has a huge impact on the American economy,
globally.
The world economy.
Globally.
Yeah. So.
Most definitely.
Yep. Crazy, man. So moving on, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin and the Bitcoin halving that we've been speaking about pretty much the whole year and the end of last year. We've been speaking about this for a while. if you guys don't know about it yet, basically the halving effectively reduces the supply of new Bitcoins, right? And when you reduce something, ideally it should raise the price because it's a scarcity principle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking about that a little bit. April 19th is the date that the halving is supposed to happen. Again, it's April 17th right now. There's like a timer online of the halving and when it's supposed to happen. But yeah, I want to dive into this. So this year, Bitcoin has hit a record high of above $70,000. I think it hit 72 at one point.
Yep.
It's currently sitting around 61,000. And yeah, so what are your thoughts about this? We're about less than a day out. What do you think potentially could happen? I mean, it's kind of hard to predict.
The halving is going to depend if, because I've looked at it, it pretty much corrected. Retail value came, retail value shot it up to an all-time high of like 72,000.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we look at a lot of the trends of BTC overall, this always happens, right? There's a correction period. I feel like there's going to be the key indicator is probably about 25 to 40 days after the halving. I think that'll be very indicative of where we're supposed to be. Everybody, I mean, you had Robert Kiyosaki that was talking about, you know, $1 million BTC. I mean, that's great. Not this year. That won't happen. Now, could it reach 100,000? Yes. I do think that. Will it reach it this year? We'll see. I think it's very important to see, like I said, between 25 to 40 days after the halving, I think we'll get to see exactly where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction is that it goes up to maybe between 85 to 90, maybe.
I think it goes around 82.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's a good pick.
So I was looking at some of the history of the Bitcoin halving. So the first one was in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
The price of Bitcoin on the halving day was $12.35.
Yeah.
150 days after that, it shot up to $127,
mm-hmm.
which is about a 900% increase. 2016, the second halving, the price on the halving day was $650.
Mm-hmm.
150 days later, $758. Yeah. So only a 16% increase. I say only compared to a 900%. 2020, on the day of the halving, it was around $8,000, $8,800. 150 days later, $10,000, which is about a 24% increase. So if you're trying to calculate, you know, 150 days after, it's kind of hard because you have that one extreme variable.
Mm.
So
I feel like, too, people have to understand that the overall crypto market has changed.
Mm.
Right. And so Ripple wasn't in 2012. 2016, Ripple wasn't in the conversation. That's a big component of this. You also have to think about Ethereum's popularity and where that's come from, Litecoin. So the actual crypto market itself, right? In 2020, you didn't have NFTs were starting to come, but they weren't as prevalent as it is now, and the failure of such, right? So there's a lot of different variables that kind of help to control that tide, right? How confident do whales in real estate investors feel about it? Well, if we look at the whales, the actual very big investors, Chase, Bank of America, all of these banks have taken large, very large stances of purchasing Bitcoin,
mm-hmm.
which is funny because Jamie Dimon says it's nothing,
yeah.
basically, out right. of his mouth, but right. behind the scenes.
He said that, what, in 2019 or something like that?
Yeah, and then he just doubled down on it, like, I think maybe 3 or 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had an interview, and he was like, it's worthless. And I'm like, I mean, I get what you're saying because it was right around earnings season, Chase. I get it. But there's a lot of different variables that are different from each time period. But what you can see is you saw a 19% increase in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
You saw 24 in 2020, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're seeing is it is an increase.
It's an increase.
It's increasing over the actual percentage of overall gain. I think that the environment for blockchain-based currencies, right, cryptocurrencies, I think that environment is increased. I think the usage of such has increased. So I think what you're going to see is going to be a bigger increase, right, after the halving because of the places you can use it, because of the Bitcoin ATMs, because of the ETF, which is now, you know, multiple ETFs, and now they're working on additional ETFs. So these are all strong backing from companies that are multi-billion dollar, even, you know, trillion dollar management of asset companies. So,
mm-hmm. And you got companies like, or people like BlackRock.
Exactly.
That are just buying up everything.
Yep. Houses, mm-hmm. Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, as much as they can.
Yep.
100%. Cool.
What would you do? I want to, before we move we move on from that, would you invest?
Bitcoin?
Yeah.
100%. 100%. Okay. Looking at the trends, the trend is only trending up, right?
That's it.
It's, and to me, you know, I don't see a situation where we're using Bitcoin to buy Starbucks or to pay for a studio session. I don't see that with Bitcoin. Mm. I see it more as a stored value, okay, similar to gold.
Okay.
People can store their value with it.
I can respect that. I think that as time goes on, digital currency will end up, I think Bitcoin will end up being where you buy your Starbucks with it. And maybe not the Bitcoin, right? But we talked about the U.S., I think it was maybe 6 or 7 months ago, the U.S. coming out with their own cryptocurrency.
Yeah, 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 for sure. But I'm saying Bitcoin.
But Bitcoin itself, as in itself.
I don't think people.
That's true. I guess. We'll have to see. Mm-hmm. Just because, BTC is the standard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we say, like you said, because it's like gold.
Mm-hmm.
But in other countries outside of the United States, you actually are paying with gold because mm-hmm. your notes or your currency is backed by gold.
By gold, yeah.
Right? So you actually are paying with gold mm-hmm. in a sense, a fractal piece of it, but you're paying with gold. We're the only place that doesn't back our currency with that. So what if the currency was backed by BTC? Then you would be purchasing mm-hmm. with BTC.
True. And gold is another topic.
That's a whole other thing.
I have to look at the price, but I think it's close to $3,000. $3,000.
ATH, man. It's crazy.
Overall, what are your thoughts on Bitcoin and the halving? I mean, you personally as an investor.
Me personally. So I doubled down and I'm actually waiting. I waited for the correction.
Mm-hmm.
And probably about 3 or 4 days ago, I think I like doubled my BTC holdings. Just ready for the halving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm long term with mines though. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to do short term stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll keep it for 20, 30 years or whatever.
Real quick, what are your thoughts on XRP?
I love it.
Yeah, but with the whole SEC and the lawsuit situation, it just seems like 1 week it's going to be cleared, and the next week it's we're back at
ground. Well, I think people have to understand why this is so important, why the SEC and why everyone's fighting so hard.
Mm-hmm.
XRP is literally the freedom of moving money in any space, right? Even as you go up to Walmart and you want to send money, let's say you're in this country, you want to send money to Mexico or however, whatever. Imagine not having to pay currency exchange. XRP, Ripple, is trying to create that system mm-hmm. to where you just send Ripple to people. If they have a wallet established on their phone, you could just send Ripple and it's the same amount.
And it's instant.
Right? And it's right there.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, they're trying to eliminate the gas fee. They're like, what is gas fees? Gas fees is me having to pay Ethereum. For most exchanges and trades, you have to pay a percentage, right, of Ethereum for that trade. Ethereum is the blockchain that they use, right? Ripple has its own. So it's totally revolutionizing economics. So that's why the SEC and people are fighting so hard, because Ripple gets through, it completely creates the decentralized market. Like, you almost... I mean, you still need banks, whatever, if you want to live in a certain
right.
But
it's crazy.
It literally can move in that space.
It's crazy because it's like, if you look at the price, it's kind of suppressed right now. It's only like around 48, 49 cents.
They're keeping it there,
which is insane.
That's the.
This could be one of the moments where you look back in time and like,
I should have did it.
I should have did it.
And that's why I doubled down on my BTC, because I got into the Bitcoin in 2014, and I sold it in 18 when mm-hmm. it got up to, I think it was like 18.5. I sold it. And I'm sitting there now like, idiot. You should have just kept them.
Yeah.
Like, I think I got into Bitcoin and it was like $60.
So when you talk to us, and we'll start wrapping up this episode real quick. Talk to us about that moment when you first heard about Bitcoin and you got into it. You said 2014?
Yeah, I was in Houston. And somebody from Austin, because that's kind of, Austin starts a lot of stuff, really. And the guy was from Austin. He's like, hey, there's this digital currency. And I'm like, okay, what are you talking about? And then he was like, well, a lot of people are using it on Silk Road. Silk Road was a black web website. You could buy drugs, all the craziness you guys probably seen, right? But he's like, but now it's starting to like come into mainstream. I was like, okay, whatever. I was like, it's like stock. He's like, nah, it's not like stock. He's like, this is actual digital money. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to erase the need for cash and erase the need for using the bank system. And when he said that, I was like, okay.
I'm interested.
I read the white paper, right? And then back then it was a hassle. It was very hard to get Bitcoin.
Sure. And just for people out there that don't know what a white paper is, basically a layout and a game plan of,
where the investment's going. What's the utilization of it?
What's going to happen this year? Yeah. What we plan on doing next year and so forth and so forth.
So I read that and then I jumped in with like $2,500.
Really?
And it was $60 a piece. So I'm just sitting here now and I'm like, you idiot. Because I sold in 2018 because sure. I would just
a
figured.
A lot of people did that.
I thought it was, at that point, it hit like crazy all-time highs. Like, you know, it was like 18,000 a piece. I was like, man, let me hurry up because I'm never going to see it. And then now we're sitting at, you know, $70,000, $72,000. But, yeah.
Hate to say it, but you live and you learn.
You do live and you learn. That's why I'm telling people, we're talking about Ripple. Now is the time to jump in.
You buy
$500 of it.
But every time I have these conversations with people about when they first got into Bitcoin, most people sold at some point.
Yeah.
Like, I think everybody I spoke
because
to
there
said
was,
they've sold at some point.
There was
point.
No intrinsic value when we were fighting against a system that was that was trying to suppress the asset that we had acquired, right? So you were fighting a system. We never dreamed in 2024 we would get to where we are right now. Because if you would have told us, if you had a time machine and you could have came forward, you would have kept it, right?
For sure.
And that's the same for your boy who was at Apple. What was his name? Paul, last name, I think. Super quick story. There were three partners in Apple originally. All right. This guy gave the finances. Now the ideas were Jobs and Paul, right? And so they had the ideas, but he gave $800. And he had like, I think like 50% owner for like 40 something major ownership in Apple.
Crazy.
He called note on that and wanted his money back and canceled out his ownership.
$800 now.
Oh, I believe that would have turned in. They said like that ownership would have left him at like almost dang near like $1 trillion or something crazy, something wild. Because not even like not even Jobs had that percentage of.
You said he was 50%, right?
Yeah,
that's crazy. That's nuts. Crazy.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy. And you know what's going to be dope on. First off, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Next week, we're actually going to be diving into what makes a good investor, right? So we're going to be throwing out some principles and different things that we come across when studying, like this individual, people that invest in Bitcoin. We're going to be throwing out some different principles to help you become a better investor. And with that being said, it's the Latin Wealth family. We'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Peace, guys.